Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and check us out on Facebook. So today we're exploring the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King and how his dream continues to inspire us still. We have a lot going on in our nation today. It is the national holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King. And then also our president, Donald Trump, will be inaugurated today.
47th president.
47th president. And we have much to pray for. We have to pray for a great reset to everything that is good and true and beautiful. And we certainly pray for his protection also.
It's amazing this convergence
yes.
of Dr. King mm-hmm. and Donald Trump, 47th president, Dr. King being assassinated mm-hmm. for his stand for the sanctity of all people, Donald Trump assassination attempts mm-hmm. twice on their lives. But you were saying, you know, we need to pray for this inauguration, for our country. But also, it would be good to follow the way of Dr. Martin Luther King, who's trying to follow the way of Christ, mm-hmm. that is a part of what Donald Trump's administration and our nation would be about.
Right.
So it's a great convergence.
And it was President Ronald Reagan who adopted this for our country and made it a national holiday. So the question today is for you is this. How is Dr. Martin Luther King's life, his legacy, and dream still applicable today? And we had beautiful responses from
yes.
many people.
Just a few other points, you know, with Dr. King, of course. He came into note throughout the country for participating and leading the Montgomery bus boycotts in the 50s. He's the youngest Nobel Peace Prize winner. His I Have a Dream speech. He won the Nobel Prize at age 35, the youngest person to win that. He died, well, he didn't just die, he was assassinated.
Mm. On Good Friday
in mm-hmm. Memphis, Tennessee, as he was supporting the sanitation workers that were on strike there. Mm-hmm. He was only 39 years old. And so he was a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a Baptist minister. Father was a minister as well, family, very holy people. We're friends with Dr. Alveda King, mm-hmm. his niece. Martin Luther King had one brother, A.D. King. Alveda and A.D. lived next door mm-hmm. to us.
Mm-hmm.
Then that the next town, mm-hmm. Fairfield, Ensley. Her home was bombed, and somehow that family survived. Bombed at the front of the house, bombed at the back of the house. A.D. King felt like something was about to happen. They got out, they survived all that. So this is a family that dedicated their lives to the work of Jesus Christ, and it was really based upon the sanctity and dignity of the human person. It was based upon the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, the right to due process for all human beings, mm-hmm. which we need for the preborn, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is a man who knew his life was on the line just about every day of his life from the bus boycott on. And so he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a holy man, and he was dedicated to the Lord. His family sacrificed so much. His mother was also killed by someone who came into one of the services and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
This family has suffered so much. We give thanks and praise for Dr. King, and we need to follow his way in our own time, the way of renewal in America, the way of the Constitution, the right of equality, not equity, equality,
mm-hmm.
that people should not be judged by the content of the color of their skin or their denomination or if they're LGBTQ or if you're straight. No, you're judged as a human being and the rights that have been given to you. And Dr. King said, I'm just here to cash in on the rights that black folks have. And he was assassinated for doing that very thing. So his memory is a great memory. We want to hear from you today. Just email us and let's lift up what he stood for, which was basically the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sanctity of all people. Gave his life for that. May we do likewise. Give ourselves away for everyone to know that they are equal in the sight of God and that to be defended by law. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, let's continue exploring Dr. King's profound influence on justice and peace and faith in today's world. So we put the question out for you, and it's this: how is Dr. Martin Luther King's life, his legacy, and dream still applicable today? Did his life make a difference? What do you see that's happening in your life, in the lives of your children, and then the life of your grandchildren? Are we being effective witnesses and believing that all men are created equal and that everyone has a right to be at the table? Not because you don't get to prejudge, be a racist just because someone's skin color is different than yours. If you say that Jesus is my King and my Lord, then all of us, as Dr. Alveda King says, we all bleed red blood. Mm-hmm. We're all the same. And she shares that so beautifully, that beautiful message, as she continues with her children and with her grandchildren and brings it before us as a people of God. He may not be here, but his legacy and his effectiveness and his beautiful witness has echoes from generation to generation. Amen.
We have on the phone with us our dear friend, Paul Hughes, president of Kingdom for Runners. Paul and his precious wife, Lucy, blessed family, based here in Birmingham, Alabama. And we've gotten to work with Paul and Lucy for years in his work of helping to bring racial reconciliation mm-hmm. to the city. Looking for wounds that need to be healed, whether it's Indians or race relationship or whatever, praying for mercy, repentance, for healing among all people. And I do believe that he had a couple of his kin, I think his uncle and possibly his father as well, that the uncle definitely worked with Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. So we asked Paul to be with us today. And just any thoughts you want to share, Paul, on why the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King is so relevant for us today still. Paul?
Hey Jim, hey Joy. Love you so much. Yeah, I guess I can say I know Dr. King in a way through my uncle, because during Martin Luther King's first years in Montgomery, there was already an organization that a fellow 27-year-old, we forget that Martin Luther King was just in his late 20s. He'd already, gotten his PhD in seminary. But there was an organization called the Alabama Council on Human Relations that was created by the Bishop of the Methodist Church with funding from the Ford Motor Company Foundation. Wow. In every southern state. And it existed to create interracial dialogue between faith leaders, between business leaders of the black and white communities. So without the backstory, basically my uncle Bob Hughes was tapped to be the executive director for the Alabama Council on Human Relations. So he started the first chapter in Montgomery in 55. This was many months before Rosa Parks was arrested. In fact, she was in the Alabama Council. Her mom, a white pastor of a black Lutheran church, Bob Gretz, people who today are in all these history books. But there was a new pastor for the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, and Bob was told by Ralph Abernathy, who was also in the council, to reach out to him. He was talented. So he asked Martin Luther King to be the vice president of the Montgomery chapter, and then not too long after that was when Rosa was arrested and the boycott in Montgomery of the bus system for the following year occurred, and Bob Hughes was in the middle of all of that. Was in Martin's first book, Stride Toward Freedom, for his efforts to bring the Montgomery City Council and the Montgomery Improvement Association behind the boycott together. So, yeah, that's some family context.
Yes. That is amazing history. And I was attuned to that to some degree, but many, many people have never heard that. So your uncle was involved in overseeing this incredible council even before Dr. King was involved, and he gets called to kind of oversee this. I mean, that's fascinating. What were the results for your uncle as this went along, as things heated up and there was such, confrontation and crisis? How did he fare in the midst of all this, your Uncle Bob?
Yeah. Yeah, so he would joke about how happy he was that his first attempt at mediation failed, because when he did get the Montgomery City Council together with Dr. King and leaders of the boycott, it was very clear that there was really no interest in any kind of real negotiation. So it did take the pressure and the national media to bring about the result, which took a year, right, for the nation to desegregate the buses. And but for my Uncle Bob, his role was very much a behind-the-scenes bridge builder. His gift was to stay hidden, and I feel like that's one of the legacies, really. In any city today, you know, we all need those elder statesmen, those people before the cameras and microphones that can help bring reason into contentious dialogues, whether it be racial or otherwise, because today it's less about black and white and more about blue and red, honestly. Our politics has become more visceral often than racial skin tones. But I'll just say it takes people like a Bob Hughes, and I would say, you know, there are those people who can build trust and bring those elder statesmen or those leaders together in safe spaces where they can establish some dialogue and envision some sort of better future for a community.
Well, so needed at this very juncture and time in history. And I believe, at least in our own city, you're one of those people that God has raised up for such a time as this. Paul, a closing word of Martin Luther King's relevance. You do a lot of work with young people, generation to generation people. What are some of his key principles, the Christ principles, I think, that we need to transfer on at this time in our country and especially the younger people?
Yeah, you know, King went to the Sermon on the Mount, but he found Mahatma Gandhi as the best example in modern history of applying the principles that Jesus taught of turning the other cheek, of do not resist an evil man, and so forth. So fast forward to today, after George Floyd, after, you know, so many fresh wounds being opened, I have found work with a man named J.T. Thomas in Ferguson, Missouri, who leads civilrightiousness.org, to be one of the best ways to mobilize a new generation in holy activism. Let me just say that again, holy activism, because so many, even Christian whites, blacks, were drawn into activism after George Floyd that ultimately was truly not rooted in the gospel. There was no room for forgiveness, really, or reconciliation. And so, but civil righteousness has provided strategies for cities to build altars of prayer on altars of pain, to build tables of dialogue, things like that. So I reference civilrightiousness.org for your viewers if they want to check it out.
Paul, thank you so much for your insights. We thank God for your uncle. And I know your father was involved in various ways. You can go to kingdomforerunners.com to learn more about Paul. Thank you so much, brother. God bless you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bless you. Well, I mean, Paul shared so beautifully. Thanks. And it is true. Today, in our culture, here we are in 2025, it isn't so much a black and white issue as it is a red and blue issue. Like, people weren't even going to show up to be with their family members for the holidays because of political issues. And you think, you know, that's ridiculous. But people back in the day maybe would have responded the same way. If you were trying to make a headway into making a difference, as Dr. Martin Luther King was, in the black and the white issues, maybe family members were shunning you because you were moving in that way. And it's kind of like, what? But so we have to pay attention. Evil is at hand. God is not about hate. He is not about division. He is not about violence. And so when you think of, here we are in 2025, all those years later with Dr. Martin Luther King, And we should love, we should forgive, we should build up. What is love? Love is desiring the best for that other person.
He wanted to develop a beloved community, that's right. What he said. And get over hatred by making a friend.
Right.
And let's obey the constitutional rights that we have. Mm-hmm. That's the basis. We have a comment here, Joy.
It says, Dr. King's dream reflects the gospel's call to love our neighbors as ourselves. His belief in justice and peace and dignity for all reminds us of Christ's teaching and the equality of every person in God's eyes. We honor his legacy by continuing to work for a society that reflects these values. And this is Maria from San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah.
And that's something that we all have to be intentional about. And that's the beautiful thing about, for me, being in the Catholic Church. I can remember coming from the North to the South in 1980. Well, the church was rather divided. Blacks went to blacks' church and whites went to white churches, and the churches were not integrated. Well, fast forward, 2025, it is a different day.
Yeah.
And so people are, we have made headway in that response, in caring and loving and being and doing, but we still have to respect the dignity of every human being from the moment of conception until natural death. And for some reason, in this woke world that we live in, the unborn kind of didn't make it into the inventory.
Yeah.
And so we have to say, no, that's wrong. And there is a place for the unborn at that table.
Well, Dr. King came out of a Judeo-Christian worldview, which is what America was founded upon. And we developed the Constitution. And King was all about the gospel message and the Constitution. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just laying on everybody his own vision, dream,
right.
Or how you eliminate people, whether it be physically or, you know, in their workplace or in the media. He says somehow we got to develop a beloved community, and that comes through the power of Almighty God. And we have a Constitution with laws mm-hmm. that we have to obey. And they did say to him, "Well, you're a minister. How come?" You know, you're doing all this social justice stuff and so on and so on. Why are you always talking about the law? Don't talk about the law, talk about the gospel. And he said, well, the law will stop some of my people from being lynched.
Right.
Or from not getting, cashing in on what's there. We got to do both. The gospel of Christ, we have laws, let's apply them, let's all live together in harmony and in peace. And for that, he gave his life willfully and intentionally. May his blood not be spilled without great reward in our response. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Well, before we wrap up today's show, we're going to hear from Joan Lewis. And we're going to hear Joan's all about her perspective on the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Joan, what do you have for us?
Well, greetings again from Rome. And here we are, January 20th, 2025. A new president is inaugurated on the feast of Martin, on the holiday of Martin Luther King. Now, this hasn't happened, these 2 days coinciding, since 1997 when Bill Clinton, President Clinton, was sworn in. And the campaign for a federal holiday for Martin Luther King began shortly after his death in 1968. President Reagan signed something into law in 1983, and then it was first actually observed, Martin Luther King Day, on January 20th, 1986. Now, we all know that he is known the world over, Martin Luther King, for his I Have a Dream speech that was given in 1963. And this was a dream of solidarity, of peace, of justice, of equality, of dignity for all African Americans, in fact, for all minority groups. Those words have been resonating around the world actually for decades. But here's what one Vatican news story wrote about that. They said, that dream had its roots in the gospel and in the liberating power of God's love, and thus it found great allies in successive popes, from Paul VI to Francis, who held him up, King, as an example worth following in the nonviolent fight for equality. And he often wrote and spoke about Martin Luther King on many occasions. In fact, in 2015, of course, Pope Francis was in the United States, and he did address a joint session of Congress. And speaking about the American spirit, here's what he said. A nation can be considered great when it fosters a culture which enables people to dream of full rights for all their brothers and sisters, as Martin Luther King Jr. sought to do. Francis said, that dream continues to inspire us all because it awakens what is deepest and truest in the life of a people. And then, of course, as he has done on so many other occasions, Pope Francis said, these kind of dreams are not an end into themselves, but they should lead to action and to participation and to commitment. And now, on kind of a fun personal note, I have known Alveda King, Martin Luther King's niece, for quite a number of years. We first met at an event in EWTN in the US. And however, on a trip to Rome not long ago, I interviewed her for Vatican Insider for my radio show. But the day began with breakfast at my home and in the presence of two other dear friends. And at one point, Alveda said, Joan, I'd really like to see your office and sit in the chair where you do all your work and where you prepare your radio shows. So, of course, I brought her back to the office. She sat down in the chair. And with a big smile on her face, she whipped out her cell phone and she did a Facebook Live telling her fans around the world, I am sitting in the office and in the chair of my famous friend, Joan of Rome. Anyway, Alveda and I have had our talks, our dreams over the year of protection of life for everyone, of peace, of justice in the world, of human dignity. But you know what? We do have to do more than dream. We really do have to make sure that these are all part of our lives. So on that note, back to you.
Joan, thank you so much for sharing about the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. I want to close with a quote here as well. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Jesus said, love others, love one another, as I have loved you. God bless you. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.